Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was a great word. You kind of stole some of my notes. I'm going to have to revise. Oh, praise God. Well, hello. I'm so glad to see you. It's a little different view from over there to right here. And I go flying over here. So I have to come down, swoop down, pick y'all up. We're going right back up. Amen. Hallelujah. We just welcome our internet audience and so thankful for my pastor, your pastor, our pastors. The S. We're so blessed. We're so nourished. We're so fed. I don't think we realize sometimes just we're at an all-you-can-eat buffet around here. So when you go outside of these walls, you see real quick, fast, and in a hurry. We are very blessed. Amen. So thank you to Pastor, and we just speak blessing over them today. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, that's towards the back, towards the end there. Amen. It's not 1 Peter, it's the second one. That's right. Amen, hallelujah. How many of you know that to be a success, you got to be equipped with the right equipment? Amen. How many of you know that if you were to take a soccer player and put him in a hockey rink, it's probably not going to look great by like 2 minutes in. Okay. But you put a soccer player in their element with their little shin guards. That's all they need. I don't know if you've ever been kicked in the shin before. It is not fun, but to be kicked at full force with a plastic shoe hurts even worse. So shin guards are an absolute must when you're playing soccer. Now, my girls have gone to practice with no shin guards and come home with polka-dotted legs. It's not pretty, and they'll probably tell you it's not fun either. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, we're going to start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all, say all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life meaning in the natural, godliness meaning in the spirit, through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you that it comes forth out of my mouth unhindered by my own thoughts and ideas. But God, that you would speak freely and flow freely through my vocal cords, Father. We bind any hindering spirits of any kind. Father, we ask you to bring honor and glory to yourself through this word. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. As I was going back over this word, and I started to get emotional because I was like, yes, yes. Because I can see so clearly how Father just laid everything out for us so perfectly. If you look closely, you don't have to look too closely, but if you look closely, you'll see that those scriptures that we just read are 100% true. He has literally given us everything we need in the natural and in the spirit. If you were to take that same hockey player and put them on the soccer field, they're not going to do very well either, because soccer is about speed and precision. A hockey player is going to look like a robot out there, and he's probably not going to get much done. So being correctly equipped and positioned is important. If you were to put him in his element, he needs every single piece of gear that he's wearing. So it's not that he has the wrong gear. It's just not in the right position. Amen. I think about David, and David is a prime example of this. He was a young shepherd boy, probably what we would call a man in today's terms, but back then he was a shepherd boy. And he spent a lot of time with animals, sheep. So he had a lot of time to rehearse and think about God, think about covenant, think about promises, think about all of these things. He spent time with word. Amen. We know this because of what takes place later. David spent a lot of time with those sheep. And sheep, I don't know if you've ever been around them. They're pretty boring. They don't do a lot, you know. They're not very entertaining. Actually, they're more, I think, trouble than they are. You know, you got to kind of keep them corralled a little bit and here and there. And so David probably had a lot of time to be sharpened with his skills. Amen. But there came a point where David would use those skills. David's faith in God and his slingshot was all that he needed. He didn't need anything more. Hallelujah. The definition of being equipped is provided with whatever is necessary for a purpose, prepared with proper equipment. Thank God we have been given everything we need. You have everything you need to be a success. But you got to access it by faith and you got to use it. Hallelujah. Find out what belongs to you. Find out who God is. Find out who you are in God. Hallelujah. In Romans 8:5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I don't know about you, but when I look at those two options, I don't want the death. But see, God is always in the double. So he ain't just going to give you life. He's going to give you life with peace. Amen. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It goes on to say that you cannot please God if you're carnally minded. As Brother Copeland would say, a meathead. You can't do it. We know that you also can't please God without faith. So we know that we have to think and act from our spirit in faith so that we can please Father. The story of Martha and Mary. I really like this story because if you have a sister, you can totally relate to Mary and Martha. You know, or at least I can. I have a little sister. Love you. But Martha, we all know the story well. They were all in the house. Jesus was there. I'm sure it was exciting, you know. And if you've ever had company come into your home, you're going to pay a little closer attention to the dust bunnies in the corner. You're going to pay a little closer to the dishwasher and those things like that. And I'm sure Martha went right into, you know, let's go. Jesus is coming. Let's get this place in order. Okay. So she's doing what she's Martha-ing, you know, and doing all the things. And she's getting frustrated. Because not everybody's carrying the same workload. We've been there, right? But you see, it's not that what Martha was doing was wrong. She wasn't wrong. She just didn't discern. She was being led by her flesh and not her spirit. And she was like, Jesus, get her. She's not doing what she's supposed to do. Well, Jesus just simply said, no, Mary chose the better thing. She chose life and peace. You see, Martha's over here stressed out, anxious, doesn't know how she's going to get it all done in time. She doesn't want people going back and telling other people that her house was a mess. When Jesus was there, I mean, what does that look like? But Mary was over there washing Jesus's feet. It looked messy, I'm so sure. And she was wiping his feet. She was worshiping. She was preparing. She was doing all of these things. She was at the feet of Jesus. Sure, there was a laundry list of things to do, but in comparison to the weight of the situation, it didn't matter. The junk, the piles, the chaos. When you've got Jesus here, everything else is second place. At the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it's at the feet of Jesus that we get answered prayer. We get strategies for success. We know and find out what equipment we need to be equipped properly. Lord, what do I need to be doing in this moment? What do I need to be saying in this situation? What do I need to be giving over here? You see, God has an answer for everything. I heard Brother Kevin Zadai say, when you're in the throne room of heaven, because he's been there, he said, there are no questions. There are only answers. Think about that. There are no questions. There are only answers. That was so powerful the first time I heard that. It's just kind of stuck with me. I always think about that. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to wonder because you already have an answer. So to be properly equipped, you must be led by the Spirit. Amen? We must be obedient to instruction. The Lord will instruct you, but you must obey. Stop trying to make it happen. And this is where Hector stole my notes. We saw how that worked out for Abraham and Sarah. There was a promise, and it was a big one. I mean, it was out there. But Abraham believed it. So no problem, right? Well, he got impatient. Sarah got impatient. And they thought, well, maybe I did get that prophecy. Pastor did tell me that this, and this, but maybe I need to go about it like this and it'll work out. See, God doesn't need your help. He needs your faith. God doesn't need your ideas. He needs you declaring what he already said. You have to get yourself out of the way. Have you ever been like running in a hurry to do something and then a dog gets in your way and you fall and he goes flying and you go flying and you're just kind of frustrated and you're like, ah, it happens. Sometimes we get in our own way. Amen. Stop trying to make it happen your way. Don't create an Ishmael for yourself. Stick with God's plan. Stick with God's promise. In Joshua 1:9, Moses had just died. And Joshua was now in charge. Joshua was Moses' assistant. The very first thing that Joshua did was to get before Father and listen. He didn't say, now that Moses is dead, this younger generation, we're going to get hyped. We're going to do it like this. We're going to bring in the lights. We're going to bring in the fog machines. He got right before God and he listened. I think about that. And if he was close with Moses, and he would have to, if he was Moses' assistant, he had to have replicated what he saw. Children always replicate what they see. They follow their parents around. So I noticed the other day, Larry was walking through and he pulled up his pant like this, and Bo was right behind him, pulled his pant up just like that. And I thought, man, that right there preaches. That preaches. And I'm sure that Joshua had seen Moses just get before God. This is Moses, okay? If anybody had some room to boast or whatever, I'm sure Moses probably could. But that's why Moses was Moses, amen? He didn't. He always humbled himself before Father. Yes, what are we doing, Lord? What's the plan? Where are we going? Who are we talking to? So here's Joshua. He's getting before Father, and he got instruction. Now listen, Moses had brought them all of this way. They're just right there at the helm of victory. That answered prayer, that promise, it's right there. And sometimes it's easy to kind of self-sabotage or to fall back, because it just always seems like we get to that one point and we're almost there, but then something happens and we're back where we started. So God instructed Joshua. He said, listen, keep my words before you day and night. You meditate on them day and night. Do not let it depart out from your sight. Do all that's been commanded of you. Be of good courage. He commanded him. That was not a, hey, now listen, I know you just lost your best friend. It's going to be okay. Just be strong and courageous. No. See, Joshua was now in charge. He was the commander in chief, and he was taking the command from the general. He said, be of good courage. That was not a suggestion. He said, be strong. That was not a suggestion. And Joshua said, sir, yes, sir. He did everything that God asked him to do. Again, God has to remind him, be of good courage. Do not be dismayed. Getting ahead of myself here. He said, don't be in fear. Don't be dismayed. The definition of dismayed means thoroughly disheartened by sudden danger or sudden trouble. You can imagine. Here they are at the pinnacle of what they've been promised. I'm talking leaving Egypt. I'm talking desert time. I'm talking water flowing out of rocks, crossing seas, and all of these things they've been through to get to this spot. This one place. Here they are. And God is telling them, don't be dismayed. Don't do it. See, when you spend time with God and you do exactly what Joshua did, you won't be dismayed. There's no room for it. When you hear that, you get better understanding of what they were experiencing in that moment. He said to be of good courage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So by the time Joshua got over there and he saw those giants, they didn't look giant to him at all. Not at all. I always wondered, man, Joshua must have been like so cool and been like, I ain't scared of nobody. I'm not scared of you. I ain't scared of you. But it wasn't that at all. There was no room for fear because he had filled himself to the capacity of overflowing because he kept his eyes on God. He kept his eyes on God. He kept his eyes on God. How many times when you're teaching your babies to walk, you're like, hey, right here. Come on. It's okay. Keep your eyes right here. That's what God was doing, but not in such a little, you know, he was going, Joshua, come on. Be of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. You've got this. He said, I will go everywhere you are, everywhere you put your feet. Boy, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That is a promise to you. So I can imagine that by the time Joshua was ready to go over there, there was no room for fear. There were no giants in the land. Are you kidding me? Not compared to my God. God said, you must prepare provisions. That's the act of faith. Faith without works. He said, because you're going to take possession of the land your Lord God has given you to possess. You need to pay very close attention right here. God had already done it. It already belonged to them, but they still had to go possess it. You need to hear that today. Healing belongs to you, but you must possess it. But see, they didn't quite see it that way. They had spent so much time rehearsing the giants in the land, the fear. They did quite the opposite of what Joshua had been doing. They were absolutely terrified. If they only knew that over on the other side, they had already heard that they were coming. They already had heard about what God had done for these people. They already knew that they were coming for that land and it was theirs. The Bible says they were melting in fear of the children of Israel. How do we know that? Because Rahab, the prostitute, she hid them. Remember when they went to go spy on the land? She hid them and she's like, please just remember my family when you come in here. She goes, we're melting with fear. We've heard about your God. We've heard about how he split the Red Sea. We heard about all these miracles. We're terrified. Please spare my family. And what do you have? The Israelites over here going, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh God, there's giants in the land. Let's get out of here. If they only knew the battle was already over, the intimidation factor was already set in. These people were prepared to lose. These people were prepared to die. They knew it was over before it ever started, but the children of Israel couldn't even see it. You need to know this. You need to hear this. The battle is over. Jesus already paid for it all. It's over. You're not trying to be healed. You're healed. You're not trying to have victory. You have it. You're not trying to be good. He's good. It is about what God has done. Anybody know the intimidation factor? You know what that is in sports or whatever it is. You try to get in their heads before, and you're like, mm-mm. You know, get you. Why? Why do we do that? It's because if you can get somebody's mind in a place, fight's over. It's already done. It's already over. The battle's over right there. It doesn't matter how skilled, equipped, fast, how knowledgeable. If you can get over into their mindset, battle's over. These people were already defeated. And Joshua knew that. But see, the problem was they did not position themselves. They did not equip themselves. They themselves were in fear. You are equipped and you have been positioned. You see, God never speaks to you as you see yourself. Thank goodness. He will only ever speak to you how he created you. He only speaks to you in the light of how he created you. You see, when God thought of you, it was even before he put you in your mother's womb. He designed you. He thought of you. He created you. He sang to you. You are his precious creation. So when God speaks to you, it will never be what you're not good at. It will never be your shortcomings or your shortfallings or what you're not good at. I mean, when he told Moses, he said, listen, you're going to go here. You're going to say this. You're going to do that. What did Moses do? But I can't. I got a speech impediment problem. Did God address that? No. And it probably would not have even been a problem if Moses hadn't said that. But God, being so good and gracious, he still made a way. Hallelujah. You see, Gideon could only see Gideon. But God saw a mighty man of valor. You might see a lowly shepherd, but God saw a king and a giant slayer. You might see an ocean, but God sees a highway. Hallelujah. You are equipped. You are positioned. Listen, you must learn to be a good steward over what God has you doing in this moment. You might be frustrated because you haven't been elevated to that next level because you think your potential is so great. You might not have been rewarded when you did that extra work and they didn't, but they got the praise. You might be frustrated over here working at the McDonald's flipping hamburgers. Be a good steward. You flip that burger like you're making it for Jesus. When you learn to position yourself to receive, you will have increase. We see that when Jesus was preparing the people to eat the fish and loaves. He said to the disciples, he said, go out and I want you to just kind of divide them up and then I want you to have them to rest. What were they doing? Being good stewards, being obedient, following instruction, being led and positioning people to receive. We don't know how long it took for the back 30 to get their fish and their bread. We don't know how long it took, but we know they got fed. Now, if they had said, that's not fair. They started serving that table over there first. They got the same amount. As a matter of fact, I think they got all they wanted. They didn't get any less than this person over here, but it was timing. Come on, be a good steward to where you are. Listen for instruction and be quick to obey. Listen, you have to stand in faith. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took a stand in faith. They would not bow down. They didn't even consider it. They didn't even consider it. They would not conform to social media, politically correctness. They could care less. Even though absolutely not one other person did. There's no telling how many people were around them. You know, when you're in school and your teacher says something and you're all kind of like looking around to see who, you know, who she talked. I'm sure that when those songs or chimes or whatever it was that they played, I'm sure people were like, did they do it? I don't know. You look. Nope, they didn't. They're still standing. Somebody saw that and thought, man, I wish I had their faith. I wish I could do what they do. I wish I could be that bold. You be that person. You be that person that says, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not conforming to that. I'm going to take a stand in faith. So the king had the furnace 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter. You see, sometimes Satan will make the pressures of life 7 times hotter. When you take a bold stand in faith, woo, he does not like it. He doesn't like it. Why? Because you're about to get it. Stuff's about to break. Stuff's about to come through. People are going to get healed. Just people are going to get delivered when you take a stand in faith, because God's going to be God. If you'll do what he said to do and stand in faith about it, God will do what he said he would do. These men stood their ground. Here this furnace is just ripping and roaring. And we know that because the guards that threw them in there perished. This makes me so excited. Not that they perished. But what happens next? You see, the Bible tells us that they were thrown into the furnace. They had to have walked in there, I believe. Because I don't know, not unless they like, I don't know. Somehow they got in there. Praise God. But this is what's amazing to me. I don't believe when they walked in there that they were in there. What I believe is they walked into Isaiah 43. And the Bible says, but now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, my name. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I'm sorry. They might as well have been laying in a field of daisies. Because not only did the fire not burn them, they not only stood in faith, but now here they are in the furnace. Nothing is happening. All those same people that were like, did they do it? Which sparked, I'm sure sparked a little bit of something. But now they're witnessing them defy death. They wouldn't bow. I'm sure they were in there just going, whew. Praise God, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I guarantee you they weren't going there. Hey, does anybody know what the weather's going to be like at 5? No, I'm sure they were in there going, praise God, hallelujah. The flames are not burning us. Glory to God, hallelujah. Worshiping. You can be right in the middle of hell itself and worship your God because he is good and he is God. He is faithful. He is on the throne. Everywhere you go, everywhere you place your feet, I will be there with you. Be of good courage. Come on. Listen, Satan might turn that, he might crank up the pressures of life. But if he does it, seven times, God is going to come back with seven times more miraculous things, seven times more, better above, you know, he's about, he don't do things small. Mm-mm. He doesn't do things small, and you shouldn't expect him to. Now listen, he cares about your small thing. He does. But he cares more that you see that it is a small thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let God be God. Position yourself. You are equipped. And be led by the Spirit. Listen for instruction. And be quick to obey. Be a good steward. Take a stand in faith. And God will do the miraculous. I just really want y'all to see this image of these Israelites over here bowed down in terror of people that were already defeated. Now I want you to paint a picture for yourself what the enemy has tried to do and intimidate you with. The battle's already over. The land already belongs to you. All you have to do is believe it and possess it. Because I want you to know, Rahab didn't say, now listen, we're all afraid, but those giants, they are not afraid. They're the real deal. No. She said, we are all afraid. So those giants that they were so consumed with fear about were terrified themselves. They had heard about God. They had heard about these miraculous miracles, signs, and wonders. What kind of God is this? Oh my goodness. No matter where these people go, it's just like, bam, it works out. I mean, you got waters obeying and crazy things happening. Oh, and they were like, oh, and they're coming for us. And I'm sure if you could listen, you could hear them camped out there. You could hear them camped. And I'm sure they were probably going, oh my goodness. They're right there on the other side of that river. What are we going to do, y'all? In their mind, they were coming in a guns a blazing. But in the Israelites' minds, they were defeated. Come on, people. Can you see that? Satan has never changed his strategy. Never. He is a liar and the father of it. There's not one word that comes out of his mouth that's even close to the truth. That's why we know when he says something to you that does not line up with this. Doesn't belong to you. This belongs to you. Isaiah 43 belongs to you. Even if you have to go in a difficult situation, you can come out of there not even smelling like smoke. Have you been around a campfire? You don't have to spend much time at all, and you'll go and you smell like you went and rolled around in the ashes. So I can imagine. To everyone's amazement, when they come out of that furnace, not only were they not dead, their clothes weren't burned, they didn't reek of smoke, no smoke inhalation. They were not a product of that environment. They were a product of this environment. I will not bow. I will not conform. My God is who he says he is. And he'll do what he says he'll do. So do what you must. But it ain't going to affect me. It ain't going to affect me. You can bring the fire, but I won't be burned. You can bring the accusations. It'll just roll over me. You see, so many times we give up right there. There's Canaan land. We're right there at that promise, that prophecy that pastor spoke over you. It's right there. It's right there. But You're so intimidated by your circumstance. You're so intimidated about the giants in the land. Listen, if you don't believe a single word about what this says about you, you better believe Satan believes every word about it. He believes everything God promised you. He believes every word that's been spoken over you in faith. He believes every period in there. He's just hoping you don't. He's banking on it. He is banking on it. You have to position yourself. Be led by the Spirit. Find out what equipment you need. You see, if David had taken the armor, the king's armor, and put it on, he wouldn't have been good. He would not have done well. All he needed was his slingshot. Why? Because he had spent time. All you need is your slingshot. You get yourself over in position at the feet of Jesus and say, God, Lord, I know that you see it. I know that you see this bill. I know that you see this circumstance. And Lord, it feels heavy. But I know, Lord, that it doesn't matter what it feels like because the battle is over. So Father, right now I take possession of my promise. I take possession. I put my feet over onto the promise, God, and I receive it. I possess it. I possess it. You are right at the helm of something. You may not need all that heavy armor. You might just need a good word, just one good word to sling and take out that giant. One good word spoken in faith by the Holy Spirit can change an outcome. Do you receive this today? Do you believe this today? I want you to stand to your feet right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that God, we can read these stories and Lord, we know that they are 100% true. God, they're not a far off fairy tale. They're not a man that sounds cool little campfire story. This is the living God. And he's telling you today, don't be dismayed, but be of good courage. Be strengthened in yourself. Keep the word before you. Meditate on it day and night. It can do wonders for you. Don't wait till there's a giant. Joshua didn't wait. He went right in. He went right into the feet of Jesus. He went right into Father God and said, okay, I'm listening. He didn't do all the talking. He listened. He positioned himself. God equipped him and he took it and he went forward and he did exactly what God did and he was victorious. See yourself. See yourself. Position yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now. Every single person here today, God, no matter what it is that's going on in their lives, it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be big. God, whatever it is, if they're just trying to lose some weight, God, whatever it is, Lord, we thank you that there is an answer. And we thank you that they position themselves today to receive the battle strategies, God. They receive instruction. They receive the tools that it is for this thing that they need to do, God. That they won't take on something that doesn't belong to them. But Lord, if only they need a slingshot. You see, Gideon never even had to go to battle. But he positioned himself to. He listened for instruction and everything God told him. He did it faithfully. He didn't even have to swing a sword. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. If this is you today, I want you to come down here. I want you to get on this rug. If you're up against something, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, if you're needing a strategy, if you're needing to know how to be equipped, if you're needing to know how to be positioned, I want you to come down here on this rug. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be big, some big drama. It can be as simple as, Lord, I want a hobby. I want some new friends. I feel lonely. I just need somebody. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be large. And Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah.